This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 48 of Sunday Supplement. We weren't here last week, were we?
Well, I was here.
Oh, right. Sorry. Well, I didn't realise you'd turned up. You said you were ill.
I was a bit ill, to be fair.
You but sound
I was
a bit there. Ill still.
I'm not that ill, actually. I mean, when I was in Mexico, I felt fine. Have you got a swine flu? I was going to say circumference, but coverage is what I meant.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to get confused with C words a lot, because that is what illness does to a person.
Right.
That's why I'm going to call you a C word.
Okay. Someone, I think it was on Facebook, wrote a status that all the deaths were happening in Mexico and not in Europe. And they asked if the virus was racist. I thought, well, that just belies a massive lack of understanding of public
racism. Finances
and
oh,
racism.
Right.
Yeah. and racism as well. Yeah.
What I like is Fox News is calling for all the borders to be shut in America because it's all these Mexicans bringing it over. Actually, the flu entered America via Catholic schoolgirls, which is quite...
What, they just came out of Catholic schoolgirls? Like
yeah,
some
well,
weird
they were in Mexico and then they were in America and then they infected everyone, so, you know.
But still came from Mexico. Were they thinking of closing the borders to germs? Is that what Fox is advocating?
I think Catholics in general, the borders should be closed to.
I've been watching the snooker too much, but Ooh, only dear. Because I've been hearing really funny, bad commentary. And my favourite of the week, if you're interested, is from Willie Thorne.
Who's got a great name.
He's got a good name. He's got a good forehead too.
Would Jesus take out the thorn from Willie and make Aslan able to go for a walk again? No, that I'm confusing stories. Go ahead, yes. He said something funny in snooker. Willie Thorne did, which is funnier than his own name.
One is stroking with a hard fluid rhythm. The other one's got a sore bottom.
And this is in relation to some sort of sport, was it?
This was snooker, yeah.
Okay.
So that's one is stroking with a hard, fluid rhythm. The other one's got a sore bottom. I find that hilarious and I laughed
for a week. And was that broadcast on the BBC?
That was broadcast on the BBC.
At what time?
About 3 p.m.
Nice.
So, paper. Got one?
Yes, I have a paper. I decided to go with the Mail, mainly because it has 50p off a Kleenex antiviral hygiene kit. Which I thought was brilliant. There's several points here, Simon. You've got to listen, okay? First of all, one is about general hygiene and the other is about the existence of God. Right. The first one about general hygiene is to say that antivirals are great because they do kill 99.9% of bacteria. So if you sneeze on them, that's great. But that 0.01% of bacteria that stay there and survive it actually become immune to the antiviral and therefore can grow on it and therefore become very dangerous because they don't react to treatment, which is in a form of evolution. So my theory is all of my friends who are Christians who aren't creationist Christians, and they say that God is involved in evolution, does that include the evolution of swine flu?
That's an interesting question. Or is it Detol's fault? Is that what you're getting at?
What, God never envisaged Detol?
Well, yeah.
I've got an appointment this week, and I had a look. One of my panel, I don't know his full or her full name, but the initials are CP, and the last name is Bush. I've got to meet this person, look them in the eye and say, jolly nice to meet you. A pleasure. And in many ways it is.
I got the Express.
Why?
But for one good reason is because you texted me to tell me you got the Mail. So I thought we'd have to have an Express versus the Mail. I don't think we've done that before. And they're like, they're rivals.
Are they?
Yeah. They're rivals like the News of the World and Mirror are because they're the mid-sized, middle-brow type rags.
We've just basically both bought into right-wing tedium.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm cutting out and keeping a word from the editor this week.
What word's that?
Well, not a single word, but that's the name of the column.
Oh, imagine that. Just one word.
What would it say in the Mail?
Truffle.
Now, Martin Townsend is the editor of the Sunday Express. And he starts his column off really nicely. He starts talking about classic sitcoms. And he says that Porridge, Only Fools and Horses, Dad's Army, Fawlty Towers are all really good. But for him, the best classic sitcom is Ever Decreasing Circles.
I haven't seen that one.
And he declares it a great lost classic. And I'm inclined to agree with him because it's brilliant.
I haven't seen it.
Written by the people who wrote The Good Life. And it's got Richard Briers in it.
Oh, no. Is that the one with Gambon in it as well?
Peter Egan's in it. Not Michael Gambon, no.
Michael Gambon's in something with Richard Briers. Because they get drunk and they're on holiday in Spain. And they go into a bistro and they sit down at a table and they start ordering food and stuff. And they're sort of like amazed at how gorgeous and cosy this little bistro is. And afterwards discover that it's actually just someone's living room.
That's quite nice. It's a really nice, dark sitcom, actually. It's about a middle-aged couple who haven't got a kid or possibly had a kid who died very young. And they're both reacting to it very different ways. And it's really funny, and I really like it.
That's it.
No, it really is. It's really good. It's like proper dark comedy without being overtly dark, considering it was on at 8:30 on a Sunday. He goes on from this really nice point about this lovely, dark, cosy sitcom. Dark and cosy, very weird, but you can have it, I'm sure. To use it as a springboard to talk about why the media is so obsessed with overseas news. He says, why can't we get stories about Britain? I'm fed up with hearing about all these wars in Somalia and all this suffering in Afghanistan and all this. It's like, okay, this is a bit weird. He comes onto the point, typical this week of the BBC's tendency to lose all sense of perspective when world, in inverted commas, issues loom into view, has been the frenetic coverage of the, oh, this is the best, alleged swine flu outbreak, right?
And
he's put the word swine flu in commas, not the word alleged. His last paragraph is, can the BBC not find any stories to cheer us up? And he wants the BBC to do all these feel-good stories. So I thought, well, let's see if he puts his money where his mouth is. And I looked at the first 10 pages of his newspaper. And the first 10 pages of his newspaper are all about death, murder, violence and political intrigue. So he's done well there. Good for him. That is what I am cutting out of Keep, but only because of the point about Ever Decreasing Circles being a lost classic, which he then bends into some sort of racist diatribe about not wanting to hear about anywhere outside of Oxfordshire.
I don't think that's racist. I just think
it is. If you read it, it properly is.
Really?
I'm sure the plight of people in these places is terrible, but why do we have to be told about it?
Well, he doesn't have to read it. Nobody reads his newspaper, surely. I find the whole sort of like denial about swine flu quite interesting.
Yeah, I do too.
I wrote to Simon Jenkins.
Oh, right.
Simon Jenkins wrote a thing in The Guardian going, well, you know, there's probably nothing to worry about because there's nothing to worry about before, therefore we're fine. So I wrote a sort of thing saying, yeah, but in probability, you're probably right. I have to say that there's no risk. It is not the same thing. It's as bad as saying we're all going to die.
Ben Goldacre made the same point in his column this
week. Oh, yeah, yeah, he wrote a column, yeah, and it was really good.
I only mentioned it because he's doing what for you soon?
It's Skeptics in the Pub, Oxford, and we're at the Chequers Inn. And basically, you can come along. It's entirely for free. But it's Ben Goldacre, who writes bad science blogs that you might have seen. He writes The Guardian. He's been on Screen Wipe, Charlie Brooker's Screen Wipe, so you've got to love him. And he's going to be in Oxford at the Chequers Inn from 6:30, 7 o'clock, something like that. It's on, if you go to skepticsinthepuboxford.com. But basically, if you're stuck, get in touch with Izzy and I will show you the right way when I don't have the temperature. Yay!
And will you tell them what you're going to cut out and keep?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to cut out... Oh, look, I'm still clapping. I'm going to cut out and keep Fawlty Powers.
Oh, nice.
If women had been in charge, would we be in this mess?
It's a good question. The answer is clearly yes. But it's still a good question.
Reckless bank chiefs and high-risk strategies have left the financial world in turmoil. Here, Viv Groskop argues that having more women in control would have prevented the collapse. And five female entrepreneurs share how they are good for business.
I watched Evan Davis talking about the credit crunch in October, November time. And he brought up the argument that if women were on the floor of the stock markets, they probably wouldn't be bear and bull markets because they've discovered that it's mostly testosterone driven.
Yeah, there's a thing about that here. It's Dr. John Coates, who's a neuroscientist at Cambridge University. He did a couple of papers that show that there was too much testosterone washing around on those trading floors. He found that when traders had an above average gain, their testosterone and cortisol levels rose, clouding their judgment and fueling their appetites for risk. Women only have 10% of the testosterone men have, and older men have less than younger men. The trading world is 95% young males. If there were more women and older men, there might be more stability. The trouble is, you can't employ blokes. They're so hormonal. They're just impossible to work with.
Yeah, I know. It's true, isn't it?
I mean, certainly the atmosphere is what one would literally describe as male of trading. However, there are plenty of women who can fit into that stereotype and ethic. I mean, really, Simon, as the only woman on this podcast, what do you think about all this?
Well, I like fluffy kittens. And
I know you do. That is true, though, isn't it, Simon? You do like fluffy kittens.
Well, come on, who doesn't like fluffy kittens?
People are allergic.
I think people who are still allergic, right, still like fluffy kittens. You can't not like
fluffy kittens. I was talking about Pike today and how they were like kittens.
Pike. The fish.
Yeah.
Not the guy from Dad's Army.
Yeah, because there's a lake in Oxfordshire where you're allowed to kill a baby pike. Large pike you have to put back, but baby pike, they basically just go around and they attack and kill anything they can because they're like kittens.
So the baby pike are like just vicious, nasty...
Like, they're like kittens, except a bit slimy and scary. Like a kitten will kill anything and not eat it.
So hang on, I'm confused. Are you advocating that baby pike shouldn't be allowed to sell stocks but kittens should?
Something like that. What I find interesting about this is one picture, which is from the other side of the road. It's a picture quite high up in an office block, and it's just basically backs of people obviously being told something because they're all sort of grouped together looking in one direction. And it says, the mainly male staff at Lehman Brothers London office are told their fate in September 2008. And it's just the back of these people. And I'm just thinking, some bastard's got a camera. And while people are being fired, I've taken a picture.
I'll be able to sell this for illustrative purposes in the Mail on Sunday in a few months' time. I hate people, but I do like kittens.
And Pike. Don't tell them your name, Pike. Meow.
Time to play Article or Farcical.
Did I tell you about my big victory and getting on Richard Herring's blog?
No.
Because he does a podcast, Collings and Herring, and it's a good podcast, but it's filthy, dear readers, filthy. Daily Mail would not put up with it. Anyway, in that, Collins was going on and on and on about how he was taking vitamin C and this would stop him getting swine flu. So I tweeted Collins to say, actually, no point in taking multivitamins because you just pee them out. And he tweeted back to say, yeah, they're not going to hurt me, are they? And another person tweeted to say that, well, actually, they might. And I've tweeted to say, I don't know if you can OD on them, but you can OD on some other supplements and they're a waste of money anyway. You just pee them out and you shouldn't take anything that your doctor doesn't say. And he misconstrued that to say, I'm not going to waste my doctor's time by him telling me to take vitamin C, missing the point completely. And Herring's used that as a point of his thing.
Oh, I see. So if you overdose on vitamin C, do you get a seepy bush?
I will see on Tuesday whether that is the case. Anyway, yes, we've got to play Article or Farcical, Simon.
We are, yeah, eventually.
So, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, readers, we're going to play a game called Article or Farcical. In this game, I read out articles from this week's Mail on Sunday. Three of them are from the paper, and one of them I have made up. So, Simon, can you guess which one I made up?
Yeah, I can, yeah.
Okay, we will see. And you can play along at home, or in the car, or in the bath, or wherever you decide to read this podcast. Right, so, Ed Bull's bounce.
Is this about a bounce in the opinion polls for Ed Bull's?
This is about a recovery bounce for Ed Bull's.
I really like that.
Don't be a stalemate.
Okay, and what's that about?
Men's perfumes.
Oh, God.
Ladies who la-di-da.
Ladies who la-di-da?
Yeah.
Is that like ladies who lunch?
Yeah, but except it's L-A-D-I-D-A. La-di-da.
La-di-da.
Which might suggest that they couldn't be asked to finish off the headline.
Like yada yada yada.
It's actually Streetcar Named Desire by that bloke who wrote it. Blanche, because she's American, she's got an American name because she's called Blanche, and she says, la-di-da, there's nothing like a nice hot bath and feel like a whole new person, and then she gets raped by the pole. Anyway, why less is Phwoar, spelled Phwoar.
It's about lingerie.
It isn't, actually. It's about a lady who's lost weight.
Oh, I see. I had an article about a woman who can now wear a bikini because she's lost weight, because you can't wear a bikini when you haven't got hips.
You can wear more than one when you've got hips. Anyway. So, Simon, talk us through it, Simon.
Well, Ed Ball's Bounce sounds like it should be a real article, but I'm erring towards that one because I don't quite understand why they're polling about Ed Ball's.
Well, it's because Gordon Brown's future Prime Minister was looking increasingly uncertain last night as Labour enemies plotted to sack him and install Health Secretary Alan Johnson in number 10. However, Ed Ball's recent popularity polls have shown him on the increase as opposed to Mr. Brown a year ago.
Stalemate, men do like deodorant, I suppose. What? So, why less is Phwoar is not... Yes, it is, it's an article. Ladies who la-di-da is a farcical.
Okay. Well, Simon, let us go through them all. Well, go do less is Phwoar, because that's the one I remember you saying. That's real.
Yeah.
As is stalemate. Obviously. Yeah. As is la-di-da, so you're wrong. And Ed Ball's I made up.
You made the headline up, but not the story.
And I made pretty much the story up as well.
Okay.
I was pretending to read. I was reading a little bit. The first opening sentence of the bit I read was made up. The rest of it wasn't. I was making it up as I was going. And there's actually just the headline, which is Clark, Ed Ball's must be sacked. Which, hey, you got Ball sacked straight in the... headline, which is probably why I bought the Mail on Sunday. But,
Ball sack's a better advert. A better advert?
Yeah. I think anything could be improved with a ball sack.
Probably a pertinent subject given your voice and your illnesses, but we're going to talk about health now. It's nice, isn't it? Like a cup of tea, some lem sip.
Yes.
A locket.
Yes.
Tough.
My stepdad, he goes to weird auctions and buys a load of junk. And he bought me a little bracelet with a little tag on it, which you can wear. And it's solid silver. It's really nice. Mm. And on the tag, the thing that they've chosen to write on the tag, wearing contact lenses.
So it's just some sort of health bracelet.
But the thing is, if I wear that and have an accident, people will try and remove my corneas. So it's kind of, ooh, do I wear it or not?
Malaria isn't just a holiday scare story, according to Health
really?
Matters. Yeah, apparently, yeah. Apparently malaria actually exists.
No, surely you can take a homeopathic vaccination for that. Have you been watching Professor Regan?
No, I haven't. Is it good?
Yeah, because she's a teeny tiny little lady. And she goes around and she says, oh, can I see some scientific evidence for that, please? And then she gets it and Peter Capaldi narrates her.
Does he say f***ty bye?
He doesn't say f***ty bye, no.
That's a shame.
So there's no point in living. However, I've got things you don't know about.
That could be a very long article.
It could be. Having a home birth.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just a bit, yeah, okay. Because you've got to be open-minded about these things, because it is largely safe.
The risks are greater.
Not according to this article. Tracy Thomas, 38, a private midwife and director of the Holistic Birthing Centre, Born at Home in Cheshire, has attended more than 50 home births. Home births are quicker, according to her.
Quicker?
Now, she says this is down to a good supply of the oxytocin hormone, as opposed to the adrenaline hormone, which you get at hospital because you're more scared.
Fair point, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's like, she's making this point, which sounds reasonable, but is there actually any evidence?
There's a really good debunking site about home births, and I can't remember what it's called, I'm afraid. Talking about how home births are fine if they go well, but the minute there's a problem, the mortality rate massively increases.
Some women take out bank loans, cancel holidays, and borrow from their parents to pay for home birth.
You have to pay for it.
Well, you need a midwife. So how much do you think a home birth costs? NHS, by the way, free for all the Americans, yeah? Mm.
So home birth with a holistic therapist midwife.
It's $1,500 to
$3,500. Wow.
Most popular room to give birth in is the bathroom. Banana smoothies speed up labour. Now listen to this, Simon, because this is going to get you properly excited. Just listen up. About 5% of our clients prefer to let nature dictate when the baby is separated from the placenta to protect the baby's aura or energy. They believe that if you cut the cord, you will cut off the baby's spiritual energy and he, she will need more settling and take longer to adjust to his, her new life. In a lotus birth, we leave the placenta attached to the baby until the cord drops off, usually 5 to 10 days later. Some bury the cord or they want the child to go to university.
My lip twitched when you started talking about auras.
Well, I mean, it's not the fact that auras, but I don't think it is that healthy waiting for...
rotten flesh to fall off?
Yeah. Even monkeys. I've seen monkeys get their babies and hit the thing with a stone to break the cord.
So even monkeys know better.
Yeah. We still haven't marketed any air recently.
Placebonics. Yeah, if you want a bag of Placebonics, just send us a cheque for £80 and breathe deeply.
Yeah, and we will give you the magic word in order to say. If you want a freebie word, try saying tracheotomy while hopping and facing north. And actually, after about 4 hours, you will feel quite relaxed and have a good night's sleep.
We got quite a bit of response from our overpopulation discussion in the last podcast.
Was that about Malthus and how he's wrong?
Yeah, yeah. And we got one from the Reverend Matt Yarborough.
Is that really a reverend?
Well, we'll get to that. He makes a valid point about how when scientists do talk about overpopulation, they always say if we don't do something now and that, you know, 20 years later, we've done something. So he kind of is agreeing with your point, but pointing out that your point missed a point. If that makes sense.
I did not miss a point. He's silly.
He says that the education and empowerment of women is the second most important factor in reducing the rate of population growth. And says that the most important factor is counting the core religious belief that one must crank out as many babies for your Lord as possible. And he says that religion is the greatest cause of suffering in the world. And this is from a reverend. But I think that's the same point. I think that the emancipation of women and religion is the same point.
Yeah, but you can still have emancipated women who are religious.
Yes, no, you can. But I'm saying a secularised state tends to breed emancipation, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it doesn't breed babies, that's for sure.
But getting to your point about him being a reverend, he says, yes, I am a reverend and opposed to religion. I'm a minister of the Universal Life Church in order to be able to perform marriage / commitment ceremonies for my atheist and agnostic friends. Aww. It's just an added bonus that people are a bit confused at an atheist reverend.
Not that confused, to be fair. I think the majority, well, yeah, probably. I think you can't go into theology and study it in the level that people need to study it at.
Definitely. I think a friend of ours, he knows a vicar, and he said the vicar actually treats the job as social work. He doesn't believe in God at all, and he just uses it as a good way to
get a house.
Yeah, right, good way to get a house. So that was from Reverend Matt Yarborough, who was very pleased that we'd mentioned him in the last show, actually. So,
oh, wow, he's getting too many mentions. I've got to mention Lucy. Did I mention Lucy?
You didn't mention Lucy, no.
I did a show in London whilst being very sick, and it wasn't probably the best show of my life. However, I did a show in London, and Lucy was there. She came up and she said, I listen to your podcast. And actually, I used to go to school with Lucy, and she was looking well. And we should all say, hello, Lucy. Also, yeah, thank you for all your tweets and twits. And you can contact me on Twitter. I'm Izzy_Lawrence. And Izzy is spelled ISZI.
You can email us at sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
That way Simon will read it first, basically, if you do that. If you want me to read it first, tweet me.
Or you could write on our Facebook wall or even leave comments on our website at sundaysupplement.com.
Or just tell your friends about us and get them to tell a friend. And then, basically, this is going to work as, what's it called, that marketing?
Pass it on, play it forward.
Pyramids.
Pyramid scheme. We're not running a pyramid scheme.
We're running a pyramid scheme of listeners.
We're not giving away Toblerones.
Why?
Because I haven't got any.
If Toblerone wants to sponsor us, we will give away Toblerones. We're very cheap like that.
Let's flop out our humdongers then.
Fluff them.
I'm not fluffing your humdonger.
Well, you can flollop it and roll it gently into... Imagine Hung Dong sort of like rolling gently along a carpet like an orange on a Christmas morning.
It reminds me of what my cat used to do to scent the carpet. He used to... You know how dogs rub their bottoms along the carpet to wipe them?
Yeah.
He'd do it the other way, but with his ears. So he'd put his ear down on one side and it just scooched along the floor with his back legs. It's very odd.
That does imply that he could hear ants. Like Harry Potter in the second one, he can hear a monster in the walls and he's like trying to hear this voice, this mysterious thing going on. And so he's following the walls and that sort of thing. That's a bit like your cat. So maybe you've actually got a basilisk.
That's true. Since my cat died, people have been disappearing from my house.
Do you find people petrified for no reason?
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, see, there's something missing in the whole Chamber of Secrets. Well, why didn't Snape get petrified? Because then he'd be in a completely helpless, statuesque state, and I could just...
You want a Snape dildo, do you?
Yeah, I do.
He'd have a spiky cock.
That's a point, actually, to be fair. I don't know how aroused he would be at the sight of her.
Yeah, but he'd be hard.
He would be hard, but not in the way you'd want.
Not even entirely sure why you'd want a petrified Snape, to be honest.
Well, really, I just need a coat hanger.
You don't want a batch flower remedy by any chance, do you?
No.
Right, this is treatment of the week, and this is someone going to the Kilver Wellness Centre, where they do holistic remedies. Fun this week, isn't it? And they have remedies called Impatiens, which is for impatience, and a walnut one, which is for feeling unsettled by change, and beech is for intolerance.
What, the beech? Or
no, beech, as in the wood. And she says, I had been unhappy, and Monty diagnosed feelings of anger, for which he prescribed holly, and in brackets, for when you're prickly. So by that same reckoning, you'd rub the beak of a rooster if you were feeling a bit of a cock.
Yeah, and watch it ejaculate. I've got something much worse than that. It's in fashion, and ever since she stepped out in this most stylish first lady since Jackie O, we've been Michelle Obama's barmy, so much that we couldn't resist this homage to her effortless chic. And they've basically just got a lady who looks like Michelle Obama, put her in clothes, and claimed that it's her chic, even though it's got nothing to do with her.
So it's just a really pointless fashion shoot, essentially.
I don't like the fact the first lady is being used as a, especially the pose they've got her in. She's sultry, lying down on the sofa, and you're just like, that's Michelle Obama lying down on the sofa looking all sultry and sort of like, come hither me, Mr. President.
I clearly have the biggest humdonger.
Seriously, they found a looky-likey, dressed her up and made it about Obama. It's not even Michelle Obama. That's how rubbish it is. If it was about Michelle Obama, if they had pictures of Michelle Obama looking at, you know, where you could get similar things, that would make sense. This is just, I quite like this dress. What should we do to make it sell? I know, let's get a looky-likey, put them in it and say, you could have had Keith Chegwin looking like doing exactly the same thing.
Time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week, and whatever Izzy offers up as evidence for the Mail on Sunday being the best paper, she's wrong for one very good reason, and it splashed all the way across the top of my paper.
Supposed to be off Kleenex antiviral hygiene kit?
No, that's your paper.
That splashed across the top of it.
Splashed across mine, as always, it says 20p cheaper than the Mail on Sunday. It is cheaper in many ways than the Mail on Sunday, and that's quite hard in and of itself.
I've got a free poster worth £10. It's the colour of a stamp, and it looks like a stamp, and it's got the crown on it, and underneath it's got keep calm and carry on.
Do you know what that reminds me of? The day-to-day, where they show the video that the government made for when the country's in crisis.
NABWASM.
Yeah, WABNASM. And it's all right. It's okay. It's just bankers hugging each other on the steps of the Bank of England.
Skipping.
Skipping, yeah. That's what that is.
We should so introduce playtime.
What, at the bank? Okay, so you win because of what?
Because the fact that it's 20p cheaper, I'd rather spend the extra 20p and have the mail than I would the Sun.
No,
I mean,
wouldn't.
Not the Sun Express. Yes, I would.
You would rather have the mail than the Express.
I've got Piers Morgan. I can trump you with that
at
the end.
No, that is always a reason you lose. We're in a conundrum now because you automatically lose if you've got Piers Morgan, but you automatically lose if you've got the Express. So I think neither of us win. We've both got disqualifiers.
But Simon, I'm not very well.
You can't play the Lemsip card.
I need Lemsips. And I need a hug. I've got squeezy honey by my bedside, and it's not for a sexy reason. It's for a teaspoonful of that helps my throat.
If you play the illness card, you're not allowed to play the birthday card in a few weeks.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, what's that?
That's my squeezy honey.
So you win because you've got a tub of honey.
It's squeezy honey. It's Gale's Wild Blossom Honey, rich in aromatic. So.
The paper you should have bought last Sunday was Gale's Wild and Aromatic Honey in a Squeezy Bottle.
I think it'd be very unfair to Daily Mail. I think they didn't do too bad a job at all. What am I saying? It was boring. Next week, we'll have proper papers.
So join us next week, where we promise that Izzy will feel better.
Yeah, but listen to my honey. I don't know why it sounds so much like a bottom.
Bye.
Oh, that- that one shot a bit in the air.
Our theme tune is God Carter.